Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Are you ready? This is going to be good. It works the same if I'm preaching badly. Actually, it doesn't work the same. If I'm preaching badly, you still have to be tuned in and engaged. Is that okay? Is it okay? Thank you very much. Perfect. I'm so excited to be able to bring a message to you today because I love this message that I've got. I love it. It really spoke into my life. I know it's going to speak into all of our lives today. Just want to say about the Jump for Freedom for Liverpool. Okay, representing us, jumping out of an aeroplane high in the sky, death-defying kind of fate in aid of city hearts. On behalf of us is over the Northwest is Rachel Bird. Now, you've got to sponsor Rachel, right? And why we at Liverpool are focusing on Rachel is this, and I am ashamed to say it, church. I am ashamed, right? But should I let you in on the little secret of why this has happened? We asked several of the young men around Hope City, Liverpool, who would be willing to do Jump for Freedom on behalf of these people who so need aid and donations. We asked several men, and not one of them was up for it. I share in that shame as being part of this house. But we're going to turn things around. We're going to turn things around. That's why I'm here. And so we are going to support them. In Lancashire, for example, don't want to upset you too much. In Lancashire, we had more people wanting to do it than we can allow to do it. I don't know what's going on over here, but I'm sure we just asked the wrong men, or in some cases it was the wives. So, and I was one of those wives actually, so I can't really go on too much. But there you go. So please donate, give to Rachel Bird. If you don't know how to do that, come to me. We'll work it out. But next week we'll make it really clear on how you can help her. And because we've not got anyone from the congregation, I'm expecting the slightly bigger donations. Yeah, to make up for the fact that we've got a girl jumping for us over here. That's not one of us. Great. Is that okay? All right. I'm back from Leadership Summit. It was a couple of weeks ago. Leadership Summit is our international leaders conference at Sheffield that we have every year, and everybody gathers together, and we have some incredible speakers. Now we had this year Donovan Coetzee, which is, he's a little man, right? But he packs a lot of punch. And he leads the AOG, Assemblies of God Churches. He oversees them all in South Africa. And he's this really father-like figure. And he's quite strict, you know. He's very strict. But then he'd start crying. You're just confused. You're like going, yeah. And then you're like, oh, I want to give him a tissue. You didn't know where you were. Tell you what though, God spoke deeply into my life. And then we had Simon McIntyre. Now Simon McIntyre oversees C3 Europe. So C3 churches in Europe, he's the man. He's been Phil Pringle's right-hand man over in Australia. Now he's based over here. He was speaking at the conference and he is the most well-read person. The most well-read I have ever met. I'm not talking about novels. I'm not talking about your John Grisham and your whatever you read. But you know, theology, philosophy, just anything, everything. And he doesn't say a sentence without quoting a book. Some profound thing that he actually makes really practical and really relevant for our lives. So I tell you, after listening to him, my brain, it just hurts. It was like, I listened to a lot of stuff, but that was like a workout for my little old brain there. And I felt like, you know, I don't know, some of you will relate to this, right? If you've had a child and you're a woman, you get this thing called mummy brain, and it's real, right? I feel like that's gone now. I've been delivered of mummy brain. I am sharp. I am with it. I can think properly again. So it was nice. But I love conferences like that. I love going where people have got years and years of experience, but they've also lived it out in their lives. They've made mistakes. They've done things well, but they've continued their walk with God, and they've proved him time and time again. They've studied. They know the word. And they come, and I sit there with my little jeans on and my pigtails in, and I sit there, and I just take it in, right? They've had to live it, and I just take it in. And I always consider that an incredible privilege whenever I'm in that kind of situation. And we all have those chances every now and again, but it was really good. But what I'm going to highlight is just one little thing. Can you pass me my phone, please? Thank you. I'm not going to take a photo of you. Don't worry, I just can't see the clock at the back. So one little thing. Do you know Chris Denham, Pastor Chris Denham? He is the lead pastor at our Leeds congregation. Now, Pastor Chris and Simon Bloys were left in charge because Dave and Jen weren't around during the conference. I know, it was dangerous. It was a bold ask. And I think because Dave wasn't around, Chris got up one day and he just said this. And I would love to impersonate Dave Gilpin for you right now. I tried it and surely it didn't work. I'm not even going to attempt it. So just imagine the hair. Just take a bit off. Imagine the glasses and imagine the accent. It's a lot of imagination. A lot of imagination today. But he said Pastor Dave would sometimes get him aside and he'd go, Chris, he'd go like, you've done that wrong, or you're not doing that right, or have you tried this, or why have you done that like that? And Chris in himself, he's a wise man, Chris. He just thought this. He didn't say it out loud. You can take that, right? Just write that down in your notebooks. Think and don't always say. And so Chris was thinking, Dave, I'm a 37-year-old man, and you're talking to me like I'm a child. That's what he thought, right? Didn't say it, just thought it. But then he stopped himself, right? And he thought about it and he thought, who invests into my life more than Dave Gilpin, my senior pastor? Who's believed in me and given me opportunities? Who's seen something in me when nobody else saw anything in me and has actually encouraged me? Who is there for me when I'm on my worst day and I just need someone to call? You know, he thought about it. He thought, actually, and this is the conclusion he came to, he's not talking to me like a child. He's talking to me like a son. And there's a big difference, isn't there? There is a big difference. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 15, it's going to come up on the screen. And it says this, and it's Paul writing to his church at Corinth. And he says this, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. And Paul's being straight there. He's going, you can have countless tutors. And in our lives, we have countless people who bring great advice, you know, who can speak into situations. We just can pick so much up. But we don't have many fathers around us. You know, a tutor can teach you. A teacher can prepare a lesson and deliver it beautifully. And it can, you know, it can bless your life. It can do you good. But there is something different about a father speaking into your life. Paul was getting personal. He was telling his church, look, I'm going through this at the moment, and you guys need to be sorting this out at the moment. He was getting personal with them because he was a father to them. A father can father you because they know you personally. They can take you forward because they know you personally. They're not just throwing out a load of information and you grab whatever's relevant for you. They speak right into your situation and into your life. We hear so many messages. You know, you could, if you wanted, and I'm not one of these people, you could have God Channel on all day. You could download a million trillion podcasts. You can hear the greatest preachers that there are at the flick of a switch, and you can be blessed. But our Father in heaven wants us to learn how to, in all of that, truly distinguish the voice of the Father, to hear what is personal, to hear what is for us. You know, it's the Father-type voice that brings direction and really guides our lives more than just informs our lives. So today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at, listen to this now, right? How fathering can take us further. I know, it's classy. You should write that down. Have you all got notebooks? Okay, I'm not going to check. Right, so basically, you know, how fathering can take us further. The Father, he wants to grow you like a son that belongs. That's whether you're a girl or a boy. He wants to grow you like a son that belongs. He wants to take your hand through every single life stage that you go through and do you good. He wants to walk you through life as a good father who has a destination for you, who knows the potential that is within you, and guide you through every single life stage, because there's always a different life stage ahead of us that we've never been to before, but that he is there ready to walk us through. So I think today we should look at Moses' encounter with his father-in-law. We're going to have a little look at Jethro to help us draw some points about what fathering will produce in our lives. It's going to be good. Let's take a look at it. So I'll tell you a bit of background. It's in Exodus chapter 18. And basically, you know the story of Moses, but I'll recount it very, very briefly for you. Okay, so Moses had grown up as in Egypt. He'd grown up as the king's son. And then he realizes he's an Israelite. He kills an Egyptian and he runs away. And when he runs away, he runs into this desert and he ends up at a place called Midian. And he marries this lovely woman called Zipporah. And he goes and works for her father. And he's in that desert a long time to have a really good relationship, or will have spent many, many years with his father-in-law as he grew up. And then what happens? We all know the burning bush. Moses sent back to Egypt, frees all the Israelites, amazing miracles, sees God move like no one on earth had ever seen God move before. And it happens. He comes through and he brings all the people out, and there he is in the desert in the middle of that situation. God is providing for them. They've got water coming out of a rock. They've got manna from heaven, supernatural food being provided for them. But there Moses is with this massive crowd of people away from where they were delivered, but not yet where they are going. And that's where Jethro turns up. So Jethro comes, and he comes with his wife. He comes with Moses' wife and his son, or his two sons. Let's check for accuracy. Two sons, okay? Wife and two sons. And I can imagine that, like Jethro turning up. Here's your wife, and here's your two sons. I guess he kept them at home while he was sorting out a few situations, so that, you know, he didn't have to. We know what it's like, don't we? So he didn't have to deal with the little ones while he was sorting it all out. So he turns up, and this is what it says: Exodus chapter 18, verse 7. It says, "So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed low and kissed him." Do you do that when you meet your father-in-law? You're like, "Oh, Dad." You should try it. You'll probably like scare them a bit, but you could try it. So he bowed low and kissed him. They asked about each other's welfare and then went into Moses' tent. Moses told his father-in-law everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and Egypt on behalf of Israel. He also told about all the hardships they had experienced along the way and how the Lord had rescued his people from all their troubles. Good point. And how he delivered them. And then we go on to verse 13, which says this. It says, "The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes." So basically, you can leave that up a sec. So basically, he's met his father-in-law. They've had a good catch-up. They've had a good chatter. And Jethro, if you read the scriptures in between, he's so excited about how God has moved in Moses' life. They have an incredible celebration. It's a good night. Next day, they all get up, and this happens. So Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" Moses replied, "Because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them instructions." "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice. And may God be with you." And straight after that situation, Jethro comes in with some great advice on how to delegate, not to change his responsibility, but how to do that thing, make sure it happens, but without wearing himself out, without getting all tired. and without having a burden that is too heavy for him. And I love that Jethro goes, this is not good. That he comes in with a fatherly concern and he observes what's going on and he speaks up. And he speaks up to do him good. And what I love that our Father in heaven is exactly the same. It's a reflection of God that he can watch over every aspect of our lives. And there are times when he gets to just come in and say something that does you good, still gets the task happening, but brings some incredible advice that just makes the burden easier and just brings good stuff into our lives. Now, I'm talking about fathers today, but I'm not a father. But what I am is a daughter. And what I'm talking about is how we relate to our Heavenly Father. But in a natural sense, I have no great role model of what a dad is. I had growing up, I'd say I had three dads. Between the age of 0 and 18, I had one dad who made me like this. Didn't have red hair, but he made me like this. And I had a couple of stepfathers as well for good measure, because, you know, you can never have enough. So I had a few dads up to the age of 18. Now, I would describe them like this. They were my real dad, my biological dad. He's a good man, and I like my dad. We had a long period of separation where I didn't see him for a long time. But we do have a good relationship now, and he's blessed Dave and me in lots of ways. But that was not until I became a Christian, you know, not until I started to be able to view life differently and approach relationships differently. Not that I was a rebel or anything, but, you know, I was determined that I was going to see that relationship restored. Now, God had to really work in my life to be at a place to do that. But when he did that and I responded to that, God, there's a great reunion there. There's a great story there. But for a lot of the time, that dad was absent from my life. So he just basically wasn't there to be the father I needed him to be. He was absent, absent father. The second one, right, the second one you would have liked. If I brought him here and introduced him, you would have got on with him. You would have thought he was a good bloke. This is the one I call the bad father. The first one's the absent father. The second one's the bad father. And why he wasn't so great is because he looked the package. Looked like the upset of the divorce and everything was going to be all right, because along has come this lovely bloke that my mum's married. It's going to be fine. Yeah. Have I told you this before? I was like, anyway, it wasn't really. It really wasn't. He would just make stupid mistakes. Well, I don't know if it's stupid to rob from work. So like, he robbed from work. And he was a postman, so robbing from work ain't a good idea. And he got sacked. So there we've got a dad with no job because he's robbed. So not great situation. And then he gets another job driving and doing kinds of stuff. And then he loses his license. So he's not got a job again. And then it just got a bit worse than that as time got on. And this bloke, who seemed to be the answer to everything we would need, turned out not to be at all. And shortly after my youngest brother was born, between him and my mum, he was off, he was gone, he was living at another lady's house with another kid down the road, and he was not what he was cracked up to be, so off he went. But that's all right, because we had dad number three, you know, there's never a shortage. It's like we got a line. I want to say I love my mother. My mother is incredible. My mother's not with me anymore, not with any of us anymore. She's with Jesus, which is great. My mother brought me to faith, and I will always love her and always honor her. She made mistakes in her life, but God restored a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's good that whatever the mistakes, God can make it good. Dad number three came along. You wouldn't have liked him, right? You might have. Oops. Right. You might have. Right. He was short. We don't like short. No, he was short, right? He was also a Russian dissident. So he's from Russia. And this is what a Russian dissident means, apparently. He'd escaped Russia because he was running from the KGB. Now, you wouldn't really believe that, but if you met him, you'd believe it, right? Because he was odd. He's running from the KGB. Ended up living at our house. And, applying for all this, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so he was over here. But he was incredibly strong. Now, he's one of those blokes. If you ever met those blokes, they don't look strong because they look short. But if you touch them, they're made of iron. And he was made of iron. Never met anyone so strong in all their lives. Don't know how he did it, but he was really strong. But he was odd. And I remember one time, I was in the kitchen at our house, about, I don't know, 15 or something, in the kitchen at our house, and he comes in the back gate, and we're always a bit suspicious of him anyway, and he puts something in the shed, right? It wasn't a body, right? It wasn't that bad. try and make this testimony as good as I can, but I can't add that. It wasn't ready. He's putting something in the shed, and I'm looking, and he sees me watching. Now, he comes in the room, doesn't hurt me, right? But he does grip me, and he's strong and fierce eyes. And he looks at me, he goes, "You're spying on me? I will show you what it is to spy." I'm like, "Oops, I'm not going to do that again." He was strange. And then we moved to London with him, and he disappeared. He just disappeared in London, right? So if you're ever in London, one of the services, whatever, you see this short Russian bloke called Sergei running around the city, you come and tell me, because I've got a few things I need to say to him. But that was dad number 3. So I call him the mad dad. So I had the absent dad, the bad dad, and the mad dad. They were all a little bit strange. But, well, not my real dad. But I'm not unique. I mean, that particular set of circumstances might be a little unique. But we've all got our stories about fathers, haven't we? And sometimes it's not that we've got an absent father. Sometimes we can have a present father who is just absent when it comes to fathering. And I'm not expecting any dad to be the world's perfect dad. That's why we've got a heavenly one who gets it right every time. But there is a lot of people that are not fathered well in this time, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And it really breaks my heart. It really breaks, I'm sure, lots of our hearts when we see the news about vast areas of our cities where there are no male role models, no fathers present in the home, no male teachers in the school. And you're like, this cannot be good. It cannot be good, because the role of a father is so important. In Psalm 82, verse 3, this is what it says. God says this to us. He says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and oppressed." And I love that the father's heart is there for the fatherless. That he takes time in all his planning and all his brilliance to look at the need of the fatherless and say, defend them, protect them, be there for them. He has a fatherly concern to everyone who's never known a great dad. In Exodus 18, Jethro turns up, and what he turns up with is a fatherly concern. He comes with that. He wants to help his son-in-law. He's like, hey, what's going on? You're going to wear yourself out. It's too difficult for you. He comes in with that voice. And you know, our Heavenly Father is not absent. Your Heavenly Father, he's not absent, he's not bad, and he's not mad. He is very present. And if he sees that something is too heavy for you, he wants to lift it. You know, he's not noticed it. Sometimes I think we carry on in life with all kinds of things, that good things sometimes that we're doing, and we don't even realize that actually this is a bit heavy. Sometimes we just get on and we don't cotton on, and then later down the line we might cotton on. Some of us do have massive problems and we carry that. But the first thing to know is that your father's not unaware. That even if you don't get it and see it, and even if you don't know the step you need to take right then, your father, he knows, and he comes with a fatherly concern. He wants to make the task easier for you. He's ready to step into your situation. And the thing with a fatherly concern is that it brings a wiser perspective, but that it comes from a caring heart. You know, there might be times when you do feel fatherless. But Psalm 68 says this about our God. Verse 5 to 6, it says, he is a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He is a father to the fatherless. He has a concern for anyone and everyone who feels that they are fatherless at any point, and he is ready to make the burden of whatever easier and bring his voice into your situation. For some of you, it will be a revelation to you, because your role model of father is not great. But you know, it's what changed my life. The moment I began to realize, I started to go to church when I was about 19, I'd just sit and I'd look at the word, I'd sing the worship songs, I'd go, is this true? Just the words about the love of God and the acceptance of God, that he knew me, that he cared about me. It was not just a head thing. It got right into my heart. And honestly, I wouldn't be doing this today if it wasn't true. I wouldn't. Because only when you know how much your father is there for you, it heals all the junk that needs to be healed. And it puts you in a place of security and strength, which is unprecedented and unheard of in so many situations, but it's simply the love of God as I allowed him to take me by the hand, father me, lead me through many different situations, take me when I was messed up, let me still be messed up, and then started sorting me out. And, you know, it's a process of life. Now, I could talk, because of that, right? Because of that, I could just stand here and use all our time talking about the heart of God. And I would like to do that because it's one of my favorite subjects, because it really changed my life. But I'm doing that because they tell me I sound Scouse when I go back to Lancashire. So I'll just throw in several accents so I don't get into trouble and accused of favoritism. But basically, I want to help you today, right? I want to do more than tell you about the Father's heart. I want to tell you how to find the voice of the Father in your life. Now, there's lots of programs we can watch. I was saying before, lots of advice, lots of podcasts. But everybody wants to tell you how to do it better. You know, we watch telly, you can see what to wear, what not to wear, how to get a date. I love that one on how to get a date. Oh, it's good. But I don't need it. I use it. I use it for friends. That's all. And some good points. But anyway, but how to do your hair, or the whole lot. People have got advice on everything these days. And some of it's great stuff, you know? Some of it realistically is great, not just on the hair, but on real life matters, parenting, all kinds of things. But there's not many people who are really concerned about your longevity. There's not many people that are really concerned about your well-being. They're happy to give you advice and pointers and stuff, but there's not many who will stick around your life for the long term. Now, Moses, I guess, had loads of people around. He had a whole crowd of people. He had loads of people around who I am sure would like to give him some advice, who would like to have thrown in their two penneth. And if you read through Exodus and those scriptures, there was a lot going on and a lot of grumbling, a lot of complaining. But you see, he didn't listen to them. It was the father-in-law that he listened to. It was his father-in-law who came and spoke, made him go, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take that. But why did he do that? I believe that he did that because he was learning to recognize the voice of a father. And sometimes, you know, we talk about our Heavenly Father in heaven, but actually sometimes and often and for everybody, God will place around your life people who carry the Father's voice for you. So when Moses heard Jethro, straight away, he heard the Father's voice. He knew the voice of the Father through another person. And that is really important to learn how to recognize that. Sometimes it takes a bit of thinking, who is that? What is that? But one of the ways you realize it is that a father is very different from a friend. Very different from a friend. Your father can be your friend, but if it's a proper relationship, you know they're your father. They're not just a mate. And you know, if your world is falling apart, if you are having the most difficult time of your life, a father is the person who is going to be there. He is going to protect you. He's going to come in and help you. If it's just sitting with you and crying with you, because that's how bad it's got, when we're in those desperate kind of situations, that's what a father is. They will be with you. But when we're moping around, feeling sorry for ourselves because we haven't got our own way in a certain situation, or because we're just being a bit glum, or, you know, no real reason, but we're just feeling sorry for ourselves. The Father is the person who comes and says, get off your bum and off you go. Come on, there's a step to take. There's something you need to do. I'm not allowing you. I believe in you more than this. I am not allowing you to sit there and wallow. You know how to get past this bit. You know the next step to take. Don't do it. You know, a friend might just pass you another beer and sit there and chat through it for the 4,000th millionth time and agree with you and nod. You know, you don't need another glass of wine. You don't. What we need to do at that point in our lives is we need to get some encouragement from the people around us or from God ourselves. Our Father believes in us that much, and it is different from a friend. A friend is not, we've got great friends, and I value friendship, but a friend, sometimes, people we call friends around our lives, aren't actually that bothered about us progressing to the next stage of our lives, to reaching the potential in our lives. Sometimes they're not that bothered because they're enjoying hanging out with you now. And actually, if you move forward, they might not want to move forward. So it's going to bring a bit of a change in the relationship. But a father, you see, whilst bringing relationship, will also release that potential in you. Simon McIntyre, when he was at the Leadership Summit, he was saying, he's Australian, he was saying in Australia, they do friendship really well. You know, it's sunny, it's lovely, it's great. But he was saying there is a massive, there's a massive rate of young men who commit suicide. And you think, why would that be, Australia? It's sunny. Why would you do that? It's sunny. Do you know what we put up with here? It's like, but he says, for young men, a massive rate of suicides. And he puts it down to the fact that they do friendship well, but they do not do fathering well. And when you are left to just do what feels good, or just to get on and make your own way, and you might be making good choices, but you've not got any guidance, you've not got anyone helping you in that, or bringing a word now and again, I guess it's a very lonely place to be. And I guess you feel very uncovered and very unprotected. But you know, Jethro, he was not Moses' natural father. He was the father-in-law. And God has people for every one of us, and I am convinced of this. People who will stand in the gap to bring the voice of the Father in the place of the Father that you might not have, or the one who doesn't carry that wisdom that God wants to deliver into your life. I remember when I was in London. I lived in London when I was about 19. I'd been thrown out of home. Oh, it's a big sob story and all of that, but I'll just tell you this bit. So I was living in London, and I had had some church upbringing. So I loved, you know, I believed in Jesus, I believed in God, but I'm living in London. I'm living with a guy, staying at his house because I had nowhere else to live. And I had no Christians in my life. I hadn't been to church in years. I'm 19. I want God, but I don't know how to do it. My friend, he was in the music business. And he was kind of like a pardon? No, he wasn't a rock star. I could make that. Oh, that would be more interesting. But he was kind of like a producery kind of person. I never paid much attention. Anyway, but he had a meeting with another guy who was a band manager. No, he wasn't a band manager. He was in the music industry, and he was thinking about becoming a vicar. Random, because the guy I was with was not thinking about becoming a vicar. That wasn't in his head at all. And so he meets up, and somehow I come into the conversation. He'd not met me. I come into the conversation, and he must have talked about me wanting to find a church or something. So he gives him a number, and he says, tell her to ring me. So I've got this number of this man who's a Christian, right? In my situation, no one around me. And I ring him. And he was great. He was like married with kids. It was all perfectly perfect as it should be. And I'd speak to him about where I was at. And I'd tell him my whole situation. And he would just listen to me. And then he would just say to me, basically, this is what he said to me. In a nicer way than this. But basically, I'd rung him about 4 or 5 times. I'd just ring him. And he said to me, Lisa, you need to stop that relationship. And you need to buy a Bible. Do you know what? I was aching for somebody to tell me what I needed to do. I was aching for someone to have the guts and enough care about me to say, this will do you good. Do this. He wasn't commanding me. He wasn't demanding me. I've never seen him face to face. But it was the voice of the Father right into my situation at that time. And I did exactly what he said. And it turned around. That guy ended up leading Delirious. You know the band Delirious? He's the manager of Delirious. Never met him. And it's funny, as I got on track with God, ringing, I could never get through. It just ended. But you see, God had placed him. God had positioned him. Because he had his eyes on me. Because my Father in heaven wanted to communicate a fatherly message to me. And there was no one around my world to do it. So he found someone to do it for me. I was ready for that. You know, a father in your life has to have a level of seniority, but that does not mean that they have to be older than you. You know that Paul was the father of a lot of the churches. But sometimes he'd send Timothy. Now, Timothy, he had to say to them, don't let them look down on you because of your age, Timothy. Because basically, Timothy was carrying the voice of the father. He might have been younger than some of the people he was carrying it to, but he had the authority from Paul and the backing of Paul to take the message to the churches, to people that were older, to people that were younger. So the voice of the father, don't be scared of the packaging. You know, sometimes it might come through a woman, as odd as it sounds, because sometimes it's more appropriate for a woman to be talking into your life. But if you know the voice of the father, it doesn't matter how it comes. You hear that it's God, and you recognize there's a seniority there. Not that they're lording it over you. It's just there's something more than a friend, something more sharp, something more from the heart of God. Now, I'm going to touch on an area now that I don't want you to misunderstand, but I'm going to talk about it because I love to see people grow in God. Right? I love to see people grow in God. No one needs more messages. We need to grow in God. All of us. That's what we want to do. We're loving God. We're here for God. We're here for the people around us. Hebrews chapter 13, it says this. Verse 17, it says, that's a bit different, that one. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. It's quite a serious scripture, isn't it? It says, obey your leaders. It's talking about church leaders. It's talking about the fathers of houses, the people who speak to us week on week. And it's saying, like, have confidence in your leaders, submit to their authority. And it's saying, why? It's because they have been commissioned by God to watch over you. And to give an account for you. They actually have to give an account for you, which is an awesome thing. It doesn't take off your responsibility, you know, to give an account. We were all through the blood and the grace of Jesus, but we still give an account for how we used our lives. You know, grace and love, and we get it, but there's an account. But your leaders, they have an account for how they watched over you. It says, Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And I love that. It's not saying just anyone who gets up and says, look, I'm a church leader or I'm anointed and appointed by God. It's not that anyone can do that. But the scriptures are really clear how we can keep ourselves safe in that we watch their lives. You know, we don't expect complete perfection, but we watch their life. Is this life faith-filled? Does this person have integrity? Do they do what they say? Have they got a life that can be respected by me and by just about anybody else? If they dug into their lives, could they be respected? So God puts safety there for us. But I believe God puts church leaders around us to bring the voice of the Father. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that leaders are given, all kinds of gifts are given to prepare God's people for works of service. But how can we be prepared for works of service if we're not willing to recognize the leadership that's been put over us? How can they do that job? Because no one's ever going to run, no good leader is going to run around policing people and saying, you must do that. No good leader is going to do that. But what they're going to do is follow God in how they've led them to prepare God's people for works of service. But it's almost like a thing that we have to get on board with. Now, I know, and you hear many stories, sadly, of how people in power and positions abuse that authority. You know, we hear stories. But I don't think we always hear the good stories as much as we should. In my life, I've had four senior leaders, four pastors at different times who have been, you know, my church leader, my church pastor, and they have blessed my life incredibly. Throughout the nation, there are hundreds and probably thousands of good leaders who have blessed people's lives, who have not manipulated, not abused in any way, but week on week wanted to do people good and take what God has given them and grow people and move people forward. Some of the pastors in my life have known me personally, personally involved. Some have just fathered me from a platform, but I have recognized their role from God in my life. You know, they might not know me personally, ringing me up every day, asking me how I'm doing, but they've fathered me from a platform. And because I've recognized their role and God's voice through them, I've been able to apply what God says and I've been able to grow. And I love that God puts that. He puts that around us. I remember being with one of my senior leaders. I will just talk forever, so I'm going to make this really quick. Basically, I was in an office once at the Edinburgh Bible College. I don't know if you've heard of Colin Urquhart. He's amazing, man of God, saw great revivals in the 70s, miracles, all kinds of things. Anyway, get in his office one day, me and Dave, and he goes, Dave and Lisa, you're off to Thwing. You've heard Dave speak about Thwing. You're basically off to live in the middle of nowhere in a vicarage with a few people that you know. Off you go. He said that to me, right? And I said, okay. And the reason I said okay is because I hadn't heard that from God for myself. Isn't that awful? Yeah? I hadn't heard Thwing in my dreams. Sometimes I have a bit of that, you know, a bit of that goes on now. In this situation, it never gone on. I just heard the voice of the leader God had put over me, who knew me, who I knew cared about me and was concerned about my life. Go and live in the middle of nowhere. Go and be part of this itinerant ministry thing. Off you go. So my answer was, I didn't even think about it. I just went and did it. And you know, everything adds up and leads to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. But I wasn't afraid to recognize God can speak to me in that way. I wasn't like, oh, you know, I've got my own ideas and my own agenda. I'm like, God, if you want me to grow, I'm going to recognize the fathers that you have put around my life. God is committed to us that much. Okay. I'm going to look at the last point now, which is our response to the Father, and say, you know, sometimes feedback can be really, really hard to take. Does anyone like feedback? No, I don't like feedback. Dave was saying to me the other day that because basically Jethro was bringing feedback to Moses, wasn't he? He loved the praise report. He loved that. Oh yeah, you've done really good with Egypt. But I bet he didn't like so much when he said, this is not good. You know, but he thought, Jeffrey thinks I'm a right idiot. What am I doing here? I'm not always great with feedback. When my hubby Dave checks my messages from time to time, I always get some feedback. He says I am the worst one to give feedback to. It's outrageous. I don't entirely agree because I do agree it can be a little bit like that. Okay, you wouldn't believe it, would you? But at the same time, I disagree because I always take it on board. You see, I might go, but then I take it on board. And the only reason I do that is because I hate being wrong. But I'm willing to go after a bit of an, yeah, I was wrong, right, I'll change that. You're right. But we don't like feedback because sometimes we see criticism as rejection. And actually, when sometimes somebody cares enough to bring correction or try and help you do something better, it's not always criticism. It's not just there to belittle you or to make you small. Actually, God really, it's not rejection. It doesn't mean that someone doesn't care about you. Sometimes it means that they care about you enough to take you to the next level. Our senior pastor, Dave Gilpin, you know we've become part of C3 recently. So that means he's got a boss. That makes me laugh a lot. But so he's got a boss, and Simon McIntyre is basically the first person he relates to over him under Phil Pringle. And Simon McIntyre, because he's local, you know, he's got a church in London as well. And Simon met up with Dave, and he said, do you know what, Dave? You're going to really be, before we get into this and really sign up, you're going to be, it won't be Phil you relate to the most. You will, but it'll be me more than Phil, because he's over there and I'm right here on the ground, you know. And I'm going to ask some really tough questions. You know, I'm going to be checking your life, and I'll ask those uncomfortable questions. And they ask some really uncomfortable questions. Tell you what, you think maybe somebody comes and has a poke around your life sometimes. They really poke around your life. But it's for good, because we've got a responsibility to a lot of people. And he goes, are you going to be all right with me asking you the questions rather than Phil? And Dave Gilpin just said, I welcome it. He's like, yeah, bring it on. Because you see, that man is committed to God growing him. He's not got to a place where he thinks, I've got it all sorted. Every plan I have is bang on. He's willing to have oversight in his life and to respond to oversight. Even Jesus did it. You know, you might say, I just go to Jesus. But even Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. Didn't come with his own plan or agenda. You know, I want to ask you right now, who, when your life is falling apart, who can you run to and know that they will be there for you. When you have a victory and a success, when something goes well, when you've passed that exam or got that degree or just something you've been failing at, you do well at, or there's just something great happens in your family, who can you ring up? And you know straight away they're going to be celebrating with you, overjoyed for you, really glad for you, and not jealous in any way, just like, yes, as if it had happened to them themselves. Who do you have in your life who can do that? But as well, have you ever watched Joe Frost? Do you know who Joe Frost is? Super Nanny. Okay, Joe Frost does this thing, which I quite like. Not everyone likes it, but I quite like it. That if your kiddie is outrageous, she has like a naughty corner. And basically your child, you give them a warning. And then if they don't respond to the warning, they have to sit on the step or in the corner for the number of minutes that correspond to their age. So if they're two, it's 2 minutes, and they have to stay there. After 2 minutes, you go, you explain while you put them there, and after 2 minutes, you go, and they say sorry, and then it's all beautiful and forgiven, and you have a beautiful day, till 5 minutes later, they do it all over again. But basically, over time, the gaps get longer. And it's a great idea, you know. But who is it in your life who can put you on the naughty step? I know who can put me on the naughty step. I've got two or three people who can do that in my life. And you know, 39 minutes is a long time to sit down and think about what you've done. It's a long time. I preached this in Chorley recently. One of the fellas came to me afterwards and he said, do you know, that's a good question, Lisa, because I don't know. But you know what? I should know. So we went away to think about it. I said, you do know. You've just got to sit and think about it. And he's like, you're right. But we need to know, who is it that has that, who can do that in our lives, not to harm us, but to help us. Help us not go off course from time to time, but to really bless our lives. The Bible puts it like this, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Sometimes when there's correction in our lives, it's not a rejection thing. It is a statement of love. It's there to say, I believe in you. It's there to build you up and move you forward to the next level. There is a growth that comes in things like that, that it will accelerate you quicker than many years of just working it out on your own. My little girl is 3 and she loves chocolate. And I love to give her chocolate because she loves chocolate. So we're toilet training at the moment. She's getting a lot of chocolate at the moment. Maybe can we have a long chocolate? And she gets chocolate. And I get happy seeing her have the right amount of chocolate. It makes me happy to see her enjoying that. But you know what? I get more of a kick out of when I see her eating her cabbage, trying a bit of cabbage on the edge. She's about 3 strands with her dinner. And when she actually eats it, and I'm watching her not saying anything, and she's eating it, and I'm like, not making a big deal. But inside, I'm like doing little cartwheels. Because that cabbage is going to do her good. It's not going to taste as nice as the chocolate, but it's going to do her good. I'm going to keep on giving Emma chocolate and keep giving her cabbage as well. I want her to be well brought up. You know, maybe you've not known God's love in your life as a father on the supporting side or on the side of bringing wisdom into your life. I've seen parents who seem to just let their kids do anything, like don't use stair gates or anything because they'll learn from their mistakes. But no, a father wants to come in your life and protect you till you're wise enough to know for yourself. Father's not always there. You know, Jethro wasn't there every 5 minutes on the phone giving him the next plan of action. He was just there at the right moments. He's just there to bring wisdom so that we have enough sense in ourselves to work it out and take it to the next step. For Father really believes in you. You know, there's some people in this room today and you have faced harsh criticism. You've been over-criticized. That balance of your life has not been right. You know, there's been not a lot of belief in you, not a lot of praise, not a lot of encouragement. Very easily put down, a lot of words said that we can take to heart from time to time. But, you know, the Father wants to unravel all of that. He wants to teach you. He wants to take you by the hand. He wants to encourage you. What happens when you have too much criticism is you become closed off. And then anyone trying to bring any help into your life, you're not willing to listen because it comes with a backdrop of too much harshness. But what Father God wants to do, He wants to allow you not to be closed off. Allow you to take steps of trust and confidence in Him again, so that those things are dealt with, and so that when correction comes in our lives, then we're not seeing it as rejection, but we're seeing it as love. I'm not saying we're going to get corrected loads. That's not how it is. But that we know again the love of God and the direction of God in our lives. There's others. There'll be others in this room who are just like, I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. I don't need anyone to bring any direction into my life. You know, some who think, oh, I've got this handled. I'm doing well anyway. Why would anyone, what has anyone got to offer me that will help me? Why would God want to speak to me through somebody who hasn't got all my experiences, all my perhaps qualifications, or is involved in the things I'm involved in from day to day? Doesn't matter, because God knows all the things we do. Whatever your role in life, whatever your job, God is better at it than you. And He can speak through whoever to actually speak into the center of your world and the center of who you are apart from what you do, and really encourage you into the next phase for Him. But some people, they're like, no, I'll just do it by myself. But you see, what happens with that is you just get stuck. There's only so far you can take yourself. You just get stuck because you want to just always do it your way. Now, Moses, he took counsel, but sometimes you don't need to hear again what the next step is. Sometimes you've heard it enough and you need to take a step. You know the action to take. It doesn't need to be spoken about again. And finally, there'll be some here that they're worn out carrying burdens like Moses. Took on something that seems too heavy, and yet God is able to bring some wisdom right into your situation. Some simple changes that will help you carry things, help you see them through to fulfillment. But right there, God is ready to step in. Ready to step in and bless. I want to respond to this message right now. So can everybody stand? Let's stand to our feet. Right now, just before God, let us lift our hands. Father, I thank You that for every one of us in this room, You are committed to do us good. And Father, I pray that as You have spoken into many lives today, we will have heard different things depending who we are, Lord. But I love that You know every one of us individually. You know exactly what we've needed to hear today. And Father, I want You to grow every one of us up as sons. Every single one of us. And Father, we want to respond to Your word today and see You take us further. Lord, I pray for those right now who have been criticized too much, who find it so easy to see the faults and flaws in their lives, and very difficult to celebrate the good things about them and the way that You've made them. Father, I pray for Your spirit to come and unravel what is not balanced, and just come and bring healing, come and bring encouragement, come and reset minds, renew our minds with Your word, renew our minds by Your spirit, God. Right now, there's some people right now, You're touching minds. You're doing a heart transplant. You're saying, I am Your Father. See, I do know. And just because it has been difficult doesn't mean I approved that or signed off on that. It doesn't mean that was sent from me, but it means that I am here to take Your hand and unravel the damage that was done and actually walk You into a stronger future. Lord, bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them, Father. And Father, where we've been cautious and don't really know how to find the voice of the Father, and I believe today, God, You will have shown some of us, you know, just where You're directing us and just how You want us to tune our ears in differently. And I pray, Father, that we will all respond to whatever You've put in our hearts today, so we can move further with you. And Lord, for our incredible city, a city full of amazing people and a people that don't yet know you as Father, for our beautiful city, God, we pray, come and make yourself known. Lord, let your love so shine through our lives, let your concern so become our concern, that we reach into the lives of a fatherless generation, those seemingly doing well and those not doing so well, and introduce them to the incredible Father and the incredible love of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And right now, just before we go, I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you who doesn't know God as your Father yet. And you hear about this person who actually wants to come and help you with your life. And for you, it just seems like so far off. Somebody who could be so concerned about you and have a plan for you. But right today, I believe God has sent me to introduce you to him, to bring him into your life. And for some of you, that would be such a step of faith, because you're like, I'm not sure if I made that step, I'd even know how to carry it through. But you know what? God's bigger than that. If you make that response today, he will carry you through. He will make sure you get all the way. So right now, where every eye is closed, if you do not know God as your Father in your life, if you don't know the love of Jesus Christ, or if you've been a long way off and today you're like, I want to come home, right now, I'm going to pray this prayer. Let's pray it together. Father God, I thank you that you are good, that you want to do me good. Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ, that all my mess you put on him. And Lord, that through his sacrifice, I can come right into your arms and know you today. Lord, take my life, sort out my stuff. I want to follow you. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.